Go. Rust is our Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. We are in the house of these individuals, and they were they're telling us about spirits in their house and how they were engaged and even spoken to, pressured down, you know, sleep paralysis. But there's also what most are not talking about, waking. I mean, it can happen when you're going down the hallway. So the daughter is being engaged and the demons are shoving her down at night in the bed and trying to do that paralyzation thing to try to get to her. The ultimate issue, sexual engagement, ultimately. They want possession. They want gateways. See, the dark side knows the laws of engagement, what they need to do to drive people into passivity, to try to create the doorways, and then try to cause a willingness and a linking up for individuals to open doors to what they're doing. And in so doing, then, obviously, what's going to happen is they're going to be taken in and possessed and demonized. So even the wife, the mother there, was telling me, standing in the hallway, where she was literally pushed up against the wall, and the demon not only shoved her and she couldn't move, she heard it tell her to not resist, to be silent. Now, all of this related back to where they once lived. They lived upstairs, downstairs, the Black Sun Camp, Aleister Crowley's group. Major, major rituals done down there in that place. Not only there, but enrobed rituals outside in the back, which they observed. Now, the rituals done down below, we were told definitively, they were summoning demons and sending it up against those believers, those Christians, in the apartment above them. What do you believe about that? And how could you put down, if spells and rituals and hexes and the conjuring of a demon and the sending of a demon is real and it can occur, as in the Old Testament, as we see the biggest one in human history coming, Revelation 16, well, then what do you do? What do you do? Well, the same thing, basically, as a believer, when it comes to any level of spiritual warfare in your life. Do you know your authority? Are you aware? Are you alert? Is the armor of God on? Are you powered up with the astounding and victory and reality that you have in Jesus? So tonight on the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, how to, you got to discern it too. So how to discern and how then to come against and pray against and put down demons, whatever kind of rituals, because there's so many. I don't even have time to list all of it. If we get into voodoo and voodoo and cantabile and the saint of death in Mexico, 12 million, and South America, the doorways to the dark side, and they're driving humanity to open those doorways. Listen, it's beyond the understanding of the majority of the world and even the body of Christ. That's the sad part that I want to touch on tonight, because if anybody should be at the cutting edge of discerning, understanding, and knowing the spiritual threats to humanity and your kids and your neighborhood and even your church, it should be the body of Christ, should be the leaders that are at the cutting edge of all of this. Daniel in his day, 10 times better than the sorcerers and all the rest of them in his ability. It all begins with that clear, fixed, focused relationship with God. You're not going to cave into anything around. You're not going to be assimilated into, you know, the world, the flesh, the devil. Nothing. You're going to let nothing is going to dumb you down. Well, in Daniel's commitment to that, then God opened the door through his willingness. And look what God did in bringing down the demon-worshipping king, the Babylonian if you want to talk about manifestation of demonic presence in 56 temples and all that was going on with the adepts and Chaldeans and sorcerers and the rest there. Well, what they were doing there and all of what you read in the Old Testament, Moabites and so forth and sacrifice and all the rest of that, is real, but is a scratch compared to what's been going on behind the scenes, specifically in the last 40 years. And what's going on right now. So I will touch on the statistical side of all this a little bit anyway, because I think we need to. But let me go first here. Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. Glad to be with you tonight. We were broadcasting this a little bit earlier, and something went wrong. Something happened. Some kind of glitch. And I'm not going to say it's – I'm not going to give the enemy credit. All I'm going to tell you is that half of that content, which I'm going to put that out also in our – and upload what we did already. And it's going to kind of mirror this because I'm redoing all of it. And that might be because the Spirit of God had more things to emphasize. Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, this is Russ Dizdar. Website behind all of this, shatterthedarkness.net. I will mention to you that if you want 100-plus hours of lectures teaching, stuff that would come right out of Bible school or college, biblical college-oriented, is www.spiritualwarfaretoday.com. SpiritualWarfareToday.com. That's my site. That's where we put a lot of the content on spiritual warfare up. And many other courses, training, shatterthedarkness.net, main site. Scroll down, left-hand side, free training courses. You can get to it that way, too. And it's important. If you want to really understand, your own relationship with God and the depth of that and how you've been designed to be the powerhouse. You've been designed to have victory over the world, the flesh, the devil. You've been designed to have the fullness. That's the great news. I can't wait to tell you this. Of that salvation, this great salvation, clothed with power from on high, Word of God, which has power and life in it, to be all of it to be yours, every promise yours. Your Savior that's now dwelling in you if you're born again of the Spirit of God, never going to leave you, never going to forsake you, with you. And if you get into ministry the way Jesus wants you to, designed you to be, if you get boots on the ground as a, Mark 16:20 is all about that. That's what you will be able to experience. And you know what I'm praying for, and I pray that thousands of you are going to pray for? That we can influence and or maybe somehow recruit and somehow make sure that we identify 10 million fearless, fierce, powerful believers that are just like Philip in Acts chapter 8. That's what I love. I love looking at that second generation non-apostle. Here's a disciple, and the way he was trained up, what he saw around him, look at him, man. Look at him go. Look what he did to an entire city and the people in that city. You want to see some devastation to the dark side? If I can tell you the best way to put down darkness, well, I'll give you the example of Philip. And what occurs there, because it's vital that the body of Christ and leaders understand Satan is as real as God. Demons are as real as angels. The powers of Satan are as real as God's powers and workings. They're both absolutely real. One is infinite from infinite love, God's salvation, truth. One is deception and finite and incorruptible and used for deception and destruction. So let's be extremely biblical about all this, if that's what you want to say. It's not biblical for believers to be 20 years as a believer, light-level spoon-fed stuff on Sundays, no prayer, not even for the lost on a Sunday, not even for the mission of God. You got to understand how lost and off track much of the church is. How do you find biblical Christianity and what the body is all about? Take a look, Acts 4, Acts 6, and Acts 8. You're going to see it there. And I want to tell every believer worldwide, first of all, I love you. Nobody loves you more but God himself. Nobody desires you more than God himself. And nobody knows you better, gives you new life, future life, and eternal life, like God in Christ. Now we know that. Let's rejoice. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? So we can do that. Every day, Christ in you, every day, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 down. Take a look at it. His divine power has given to you permanently, it's perfect in the Greek, has given to you in a permanent sense that power, everything you need for the Christian life and for godliness, devotedness to God. So I want you to know again, Ephesians 2:10. I want you to know again that you've been designed in Jesus. That he came to give life and life more abundantly, right? And that there is a joy of the Lord that we serve in, and that it is astounding. So I'm going to say again that believers in Jesus should be the most supernatural people on the planet. Gatherings of the church should be the most supernatural place to gather, where God would be all over it. I cannot tell you the disdain I have at times on Sundays gatherings and places where there's just simply not even a clear recognition of the immediacy of the living presence of God, of Christ, or the Spirit of God. Sometimes it's all as if God is on the other side of the planet. And you look at Acts 4, 6, and 8, and on, you're going to see that's the picture. You look at Mark 16, 20, and Jesus, listen, he's alive. And if you're born again of the Spirit of God, he's in you, he's alive. And his promise in the Great Commission, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. So this is what we must know. This is what we must be a part of. This is what this is the excitement I have for you, to let you know that this is what God has designed you for. Okay. Quick update: we're going to be down in Ball Ground, Georgia, in just days. And Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, you can still get registration, a website, shadowthedarkness.net. Scroll down a little bit to the right. It'll tell you about the conference. It'll tell you to click on their website. I hope you can come. We hear people from Canada and around other places are coming. When we are in Geneva, there's folks that came from England and Netherlands and Holland and Germany and Budapest, Hungary and Bulgaria and on, France and so forth. Even a dear sister in Christ flew from Los Angeles, California, all the way to Geneva to be at the conference and to get prayer. And she got prayer. And it seemed like the Lord ministered to her. And we pray, and if you're listening tonight, just bless you, and may God. Remember Philippians 1:6. Burn that into your heart and life. Tonight, how to pray against hexes and spells and, anything that involves demons summoned and sent. And maybe, it doesn't even take them to do things. I mean, Ephesians 6:10 on down, your struggle is not against flesh and blood. The reason to lift up the shield of faith, to stop, to extinguish, to put out the flaming darts, the poisonous, you know what that is? That's demons and or Satan communicating, involuntary thoughts and feelings coming towards you and them trying to influence you contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the character of God, contrary to the very purposes that God has in your life. So they're if you could discern that, if you have the armor of God on and know how to have the manifest power presence of God there, well then you're a victor. You're one of those bold as a lion. Let the wicked flee, my friend. You and I don't care how dark, how demonized, I don't care if the Antichrist is down the road. Your victory, and you could see it even in Revelation 12:11. You understand who dwells in you, who's upon you, who's with you, who's guarding and guiding. Psalm 91. So let's, every single believer, number one, repent of and just stand up and say, I reject all the fear concerning the demonic side and all that dark side stuff. I reject the little bit of discipleship. Listen, what I mean by that is, if all you've been fed is just little bitty pieces of scripture and basics for 20 years, you've been neglected and dereliction of duty among leaders. Sometimes there are leaders, and I've seen this by my experience 40 years on the ground in full-time ministry, there are many leaders that aren't very strong themselves. There's very many so-called leaders that aren't soul winners, aren't prayer warriors. They don't know how to do deliverance. They don't even understand how God brings healing. How are they going to do anything? How are they going to unleash anything? As John the Baptist one time said, a man only has what he's received from God. The truth is, you can only pour out what you have, what you've received. The good news is that coming to the and yielding at the feet of Jesus, this massive heavens university, Spirit of God to open up all the Word of God, you to step out in faith on all that Word of God, and in doing so, everything God said He is what it will do will be experienced in your life. So when I say biblical Christianity, that's experiential Christianity. That's Book of Acts. What you see in Acts 4 and 6 and 8 and onward is a part of all this. God is the God of earthquakes and angels and power and signs and wonders. And on the one hand, you reject the counterfeit and rebuke it and command it away because Satan's coming in with counterfeit. And it's real counterfeit. It's real stuff, but it's not of God. The best way to discern that, live in the real, in Jesus, in His Word, by the Spirit of God. If anybody has a spirit of guiding you, directing you, and giving you insight, that's the believer. God the Holy Spirit, illuminating, teaching, guiding, reminding, and everything. So you and I are to be at the cutting edge. Daniel in his day was 10 times better than the sorcerers and all those, you know, the ones that knew the underworld the most. In a city with 56 temples and demons and sacrifice and a king that worshipped a demon god. So look at Philip as he launches, as he launches into the dark, demonized, demon-possessed, demon-controlled city. So it's one thing, exposing everything is to give a sense of what we're supposed to make known that side and expose it. And that Greek word for exposure means to do it with evidence, to do it with definitive evidence. It's not about innuendo. It's not about fake news. It's not about manufacturing what's really there, because what's really there is what harms. And the other side of that story is then the believers outraged about it stand up. And I want to say this, that real believers taught biblically, equipped biblically, can become like David when Goliath was on the field doing what he's doing. Sure, it was a threat. Was that nation he was a part of demonized and human child sacrifice and all the rest of it? Yes. Was it an abomination? Was it a... Yes. Were they standing there in arrogance against the people of God? Yes. And was Goliath most likely Nephilim or hybrid or, whatever you want to look at, you have this massive manifestation of demonic empowerment and militaristic conquest. And what does David do? He's outraged by it. He goes out on the field to deal with it. And he runs towards it, not away. See, there's a lot of believers that see no evil, hear no evil, close their eyes, turn the other way, all that kind of stuff. Repent of that. That is not of God. That's hiding your talents. Go read the parable of the talents. That's not what you want to do. I love you. I'm helping you out today. You do not want to hide the talents. All that God gives us, all that God embeds in us, all that God will continue to build us in, you become stronger, more powerful, more competent, more confident, more able, more fruit-bearing, to where, as in the book of Acts, all Spirit-filled believers would not back down from anything. They had a mission: get as many people saved as possible, pray for the healing, cast out demons, and see the powers of God, and pray like they did in Acts 4. If your church is not praying the way they did in Acts 4, pastors, if your church is not praying that way, it's evidence possibly of your not believing the depths of the power and the grace and the might of God. It might be evidence that there's a great grieving of the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of prayer and supplication. And so many times in the book of Acts, we see that the moment prayers begin, the effects and answers are demonstrative in your face right then. Why are there no answers right in the sanctuary? Because we're treating God as if He's 1,000 miles away. When two or three gather together in My name, there am I in the midst. Can't get any better than that. As you and I are called and called to come boldly before the throne of grace, there's no greater place, no greater presence, God, no greater promises and power and guidance in all of that. So I'm telling you that if Christianity in your life is not a, you know, if you're not personally becoming the most, one of the most, and I say again, biblically supernatural, powerful individuals, well, you need to. And if your local church, if God is not all over that church, then something's wrong with, it's not, listen, it's not on God's, there's not a problem on God's side of the fence here, folks. We are the ones that can quench the Spirit of God, 1 Thessalonians 5. We can grieve the Spirit of God. Look at that, Ephesians 6. Vex the Holy One of Israel, as we read about in the Old Testament. None of us want to do that. Salvation is so powerful. It is the living God, it is the living Christ, and the embedding, the indwelling, the empowerment, the life, clothed with power from on high. So, as I talk to you about the power of God, the grace of God, the might of God, the signs and wonders, the charismatic giftings, and all of that in the context of the lordship and living and inseparable immediacy of the living Jesus in your life, right here, right now, as you're listening, right in you, right with you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't gone anywhere. You read Philippians 1:6 again. You nail that to your heart and your spirit and experience the reality of that. So believers can get up and be definitive. The stronger, listen, you can't do without, doubters don't receive anything, James 1. Those who believe and launch out in faith, well, Hebrews 11:6, right? Isn't that it? Tonight, as we talk about how do you do this, I'm just going to mention quickly over 40 years of engaging that other side. Now, I mean, as a believer, you're going to engage spiritual warfare anyway. So just all the biblical stuff. Why did God, Luke 10, give you authority over all the power of the enemy? To trample it, to tread on it. Why? And what do you do? I mean, how do you use that? Commanded to put on the full armor of God so the manifested power, might, and strength of God would be in you and manifesting through you so that you would have victory over the day the devil comes to bring his worst. And so we're told in 1 Peter 5:8, your enemy, the devil, he's prowling. He wants to devour believers. Well, we're told by the Spirit of God to be alert, sober-minded, stand in faith. So we got categories. Believers can be ignorant of all this and be constantly defeated. Believers can know some of this, but be in, you know, they've willfully grieved the Spirit, given to some sin stuff, get in the flesh or whatever else, and they're crippled spiritually. Now the enemy wants to do that, and the enemy wants to run circles around the believer. If the believer is ignorant, that's going to happen. Paul says clearly, and we should be able to say, we confidently are not ignorant, willfully ignorant, of the devil's methods and schemes. Because that's what he is, a lying schemer. Now, you know, I have done this for years and years and years, telling you clearly that over 10 years now, and probably a couple thousand MP3s that are out there, half of which are all training and Bible-oriented, you know, Bible school-oriented materials, and we're going to give you more and more and more. Now, bottom line, under the lordship of Christ, wherever you are, in all of the world, it's all the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever, but whether you're in Budapest or in Bulgaria or the Netherlands or in Spain or wherever you're at, you've got to know that every single truth and promise and instruction from the Word of God is for you. And we just present yourself to the Lord and yield yourself to the Lord and recognize the deficiencies maybe. See, some believers believe they're normal Christians because for 20 years they've been fed ABCs only. They don't know the rest of the biblical spiritual alphabet that all the rest of the New Testament teaches. And that's sad, and that is a problem, definitely is, because it does not make them the powerhouse God intended. So I'm going to tell you again, our salvation is power, and the power of, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God into salvation, and power comes into us. The Spirit of God comes, and sin nature's broken, Satan chain's broken, hell's broken, death's broken, life is in us, Christ is in us, and we're to be clothed with the power from on high. That's the will of God. So it's for every believer to be filled and to be filled with power. One writer in the Old Testament one time said, I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord. Now, in the book of Acts, all the Spirit-filled individuals, you'll see them active, boots on the ground, moving forward, getting stronger, and in the context of perseverance and or the context of demonized and possessed demons manifesting through people, they triumphed over that. And God was working in the midst of all that. So it's vital for us to understand, because of what I'm going to tell you, that more demonic